everyone. So there are two parashas this week, Achrimos and Kedoshim, but there's only one shir. So a lot to choose from. So there's a pasuk in this week's parasha, in parashas Kedoshim, that says right before Sheni, or Sheni of Kedoshim, Los Galel Chereish, V'lefnei Iver Los Yitein Michshol. Los Galel Chereish, don't curse a person that's deaf, they can't hear. V'lefnei Iver Los Yitein Michshol, V'yorei Samei Lekech, you should fear the Ribbono Shelam Ani Hashem. So the question is, what is this pasuk teaching us? What is this iser? V'lefnei iver lo sitei mishal. There's an iser, there's a lav, lo, don't do. V'lefnei iver literally means in front of a blind person, don't place a stumbling block. So what exactly is the iser that the Torah is teaching us here? So there's the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos, in Mitzvos lo sa'asei reish tzadites, says, V'hamitzvah reish tzadites he, the 299th mitzvah, is shehis hiranu, we are cautioned, we mehachshil k'tzaseinu es k'tzaseinu be'etza. We are taught that some of us are may not give a faulty, a bad etza to others. I mean, one Jew should not give a bad etza, bad idea, bad advice to another Jew. V'hu shemishalcha adam etza b'davar. If a person asks you eitz of something which he's uncertain about, he doesn't know what to do. He has a piece of property and he's not sure if he should sell the property. Somebody's offering him a certain price. Should he sell for that price or should he hold on to it? Maybe the market seems to be going up. He's not sure, but on the other hand, he's got a very good. He's not sure what to do, or any other that's business advice or a shidduch. He's not sure. He's considering, a certain shidduch from a certain family, but he has certain doubts, and he wants to talk it over with somebody. So, a person has to be careful. The person who's consulted has to be careful, not to give him bad advice. Ubo hashara milaramoso. This hashara is that you shouldn't deceive him, umehachshilo, and cause him to stumble and to make a bad decision. To cause them to make a bad move, to sell the piece of property when really it really made sense to hold on. The market's going up, but leaps and bounds. Makes no sense. The guy's offering you a decent price, but you hold on to it for another month and it'll be worth, who knows how much more. And you know that, and you give him, you offer him bad advice. You tell him for whatever reason you have, whatever motives you have, you tell him that he should sell. That's this iser of lefnei iver lo sitei michshol.
That's only if you know
me,
right?
Pashtus, okay, we'll get a little bit. Aval tiyashirehu el hadavar, shetachshav shutov yashar. Rather, you should try to steer him in the direction that you believe is good, meaning good for him. In the direction, the advice that you believe is good advice for this person, that would be beneficial for him, that's how you should advise him. Okay. V'hu amro yisala, that's what's meant, but the Eibishter meant when he says in the Pasuk, v'lifnei ivel osite michshol. Okay. And then he brings from the Sifra that says like this. Okay. Then he says, the Rambam continues. Okay, so far the Rambam has said that the Pasuk of the ivel osite michshol is teaching us, don't give a person bad advice. He asks you advice, don't mislead him. That's number one. Then he says, V'labza Amru, Chazal say, Shukol Gamkein, Mishayazor al Avera. It also includes somebody who helps somebody else do an Avera. Oh, Yisavevosa, or not just helps him, but he exgorim it. He caused him to do an Avera. Kihu Yavio Ishahu. She'ivra ta'avaso ain't sechlo. This person that his taiva is blinding his seichel. His seichel would tell him, don't do it. The Eibishter said, don't eat that, don't eat in that restaurant. But his taiva is blinding him. He heard such good things about it and he just feels he just got a taste. And his taiva is blinding him. V'chazar iver, and he became like an iver. He became blind to the to what's right, to what's right and what's wrong. And this person goes ahead and helps him along and convinces him. You know, yeah, it's okay, it's nishkafelech one time. You know, you'll do tshuva later, or you know, Kadosh Baruch Hu will understand whatever ridiculous arguments he makes. Oh, or he actually helps him. He says, "Hey, I'll give you. I'll give you a ride. I know you can't even get there. I'll show you know where the place is. I'll give you a ride." I said, "Okay." So that's lifnei l'siti mechshel. But so two things. The Rambam says: number one, giving bad advice, and number two, helping a person or encouraging a person to do an avera. And then he says at the end. It's both of the yiver upashte dekra who b'mashes acharnu tchila. The pashup shot in the person is the pasuk is the first thing. So the Rambam says the pashup shot is the first way that not to give a person bad advice, and in terms of not being machshelim in avera, not helping him, and not encouraging him to do an avera, that's a secondary pshat. But that's what the Rambam says. Now. If you look at Rabbeinu Yonah in the Shari Tshuva Rabbeinu Yonah, well, that's before that, the Smag in his Sefer Mitzvot Gadol, when he lists the mitzvahs in his Lav in Behim Tzkuf Samaches, he also says that Lifnei Iver includes these two things, but he says he puts them in the opposite order. He makes it sound like the Iker Nakuda of the Pasuk, the Iker Iser in the Pasuk is causing a person to do an avera, or assisting a person, helping a person to do an avera, that's the ikra avera. And then a secondary thing is giving him bad advice. In the Shari Tshuva from Rabbeinu Yonah, Rabbeinu Yonah in Shar Shlishi goes through all the mitzvahs of the Torah. And so in Shar Shlishi in Oz Nun Beis, Rabbeinu Yonah says the following. He starts off, V'lifnei iver lo siti michshol. His hiranu bozeh. The Torah is commanding us here and warning us, Shelo lahoros es b'nei Yisrael ashelo kados v'shelo kalacha. Don't instruct a person, don't paskin a person for a person against the halacha. Shelo lahoros, right? Don't teach a person that right is wrong and kosher is treif and treif is kosher. Ashelo kados v'shelo kalacha. Don't misguide a person in halachic information. The Amar Rabbi says, "Have a mesuna b'din. You have to be slow. Take it slow." And they're talking to people that are dayanim or rabbanim or poskim and telling them, "Don't misguide a person in halacha. Have a mesuna b'din." The first mishnah perkei avos, right? Have a mesuna b'din. Masun means when you take things calmly and slowly, and you know, giving a lot of thought, a lot of consideration before you respond, and that's the puzzle. So, because you mentioned before, it's only on purpose, right? Like by giving but here he's saying, but it's more than just that. Okay, if you just blurt out something without giving it the proper thought, that's also you may be over lifnei yiver. In other words, in a chanami, if you really think about it and try, and you say, you know what? If I were you, I think I would sell, or and it turns out it's a bad advice. Okay, you know, you didn't. So you're not going to be held responsible for that, most likely. But if you just, you know, the guy says, just say, yeah, sell, why not? You know, you don't really give him much thought. You can't be bothered. If you can't be bothered, so tell him. You don't have to say it that way. I can't be bothered to help you. but you say, you know what? I'm not the right person to ask. You know, or we'll see. Well, maybe we'll discuss soon. But certainly. Part of the thing is, let's say a person asks you something and you have a personal interest in it. In other words, you would very much like if he, let's say, whatever, puts his house up on the market because you're going to jump in and buy it, or you're going to send someone to buy it. You don't want him to realize you're buying it, whatever it is. So you really want, you think it's a good, that's a great piece of property. You'd be very happy if he sells it. And if so, that would be Mamash and Issa to advise him. That would be the Fnei Iver to advise him to sell it. But if you feel that you can't do otherwise, let's say he's really considering selling it, and he just wants, he needs your haskama, you know, and you really want him to sell it, but you don't think it's a good idea at all. But you can't, so then you have to say, you know, I don't know, maybe you should ask someone else. That's the least, you know, that's the, do at least that. If you can't get yourself to really get over the hump and give him what's right, proper advice for him. So at least tell him. You probably should ask somebody else. I don't think I'll be able. I don't think I have a be able to guard you. Okay, but anyway. So here it says, people that are too quick to respond, rabbanim that are too quick, they're not gonna avoid this. They're gonna give a mikshel by either it could be two things. It could be sometimes pasha just not hearing the person, hearing him out probably. Sometimes the person has a shayla, they don't always present it 100% clearly right away. And you may think you understood what they said, but if you just something you probe a little bit, I don't know if you ever had experience where you asked the Rav Shaila, and he asks you certain questions, is it this and this? No, okay, it doesn't make a difference. Anyway, the psak anyway is what I want to say. So like, why'd you ask me? I find myself doing this, and I'll ask a person a question, and then even if the answer is not the way I was hoping, but I still tell him whatever I was going to tell him. So what do you ask me for? Then it obviously doesn't make a difference. No, but sometimes it's just to make sure you get the full picture. Or sometimes also it's more of a smach, whatever it is. But the point is, what I mean to bring out is that sometimes a person doesn't necessarily express himself so clearly when he asks the shayla, or maybe he doesn't even realize what the relevant factors are. And sometimes you have to ask the rabbis to ask a little bit just to make sure that he's getting the facts that he needs all those facts are there. Or sometimes the person might be coming, from a completely different perspective or understanding. He might have some concepts mixed up in his mind. So he asks the shayla in a certain way, based on his assumptions. And if you just answer it, he'll get the wrong answer. But if you probe a little, you see that he's confusing things, and the way he asked the question is the answer you would have given is not the correct answer at all. Based on when you dig a little deeper and you find out what the real shaila is. So he says people who don't do that, and then sometimes compulsion could be that maybe he did hear the shaila properly, but he himself, if he answered too quickly, he didn't get a chance for his brain to process and realize all the factors that are involved, and he might be confusing things. Okay, the chatosim kvedim ma'od. It's a very serious avera. K'moshe nemar lo yodu v'lo yavinu v'chashecha yisalachu yimotu k'mos eretz. Okay, etc. Then he says it's number one. And by the way, it's not just for rabbanim. I mean, many times a person could ask even a chaver as a chaver. Do you remember what the halacha is? I said mashvur chamar d'goshem. Do I have to preach my esrei? And you could be in that position, and we also have to just stop and think and make sure before you answer. And even though you think the answer is pashut, but just stop for a second and say, make sure, because if you tell him wrong because you didn't bother to think it out well enough, or if you yourself weren't sure and you said, I'm pretty sure, he's asking me, I don't want to, he thinks I know something, so I don't want to make it look like I don't know it. So you give him an answer, and it's the wrong answer, that's pretty serious. Okay, then second, the old who's harnam and emikrazel, l'hasi eitzah hogenis, l'asher yivayitz imanu. Also, the second thing is to give good eitzahs. The person asks for an eitzah. First thing was halacha, not to misguide a person halacha. And second thing is to give a person a proper eitzah. V'lo l'hachshilo be'eitzah nevara, not to give him an improper eitzah, v'lo yayitzah chaver l'fidarko, and not to give him an eitzah which suits me, which I'd like to see you do, which is not necessarily good for you. And then he adds, v'chayev adam lachshav machshavos, l'halos eitzahs hagunos u'mesukonos chaveru. A person, there's a mitzvah for a person to try to dafka go ahead and give good advice. How a person asks you an answer, don't just say, I don't know, ask somebody else. Try, see if maybe you could. Maybe if you bother, maybe you'd be able to respond in a way that's beneficial for him, and you'll be mekayim a mitzvah. He says, v'zeh echad mi'ikari darki gemilas chasodim, sh'nei mar shemar l'kitores, samach lev, u'mesig rei ha'me'atz is nefesh. Let me just do it off, because you're obviously not calling for this year. Okay. So Rabbi Yona also says there are two parts to this pasuk. So similar to the smag of the Rambam, except one of them not he has instead of not being machti a person or machshel a person, by helping him do an avera, he has by not misleading him, by not giving him teaching him a wrong halacha. And the second one is giving him good advice. Okay, so we've seen three Rishon, the Rambam, the Smag, and the Rabbeinu Yonah, who all say two parts to this mitzvah. They all include the idea of giving good advice or not giving bad advice, right? Not giving bad advice, and they all also have something of not assisting him to do a chait or not misguiding him in halacha that he should end up acting improperly in halacha. So the question is, what about the words of the pasuk? Lefnei iver lo sitei mechshol. What about if a blind person or a person who doesn't see something is walking? If you take a stone or a wooden block and you put it down on the thing and he walks and he trips and he falls and hurts himself, is that lefnei iver lo sitei mechshol? It would seem to be that's the pasuk lefnei iver in front of, or it might be mamash a blind person lo sitei mechshol, don't cause a blind person stone. Nobody said that, right? Nobody's. So you say, okay, but the pasuk means a lot more, a lot deeper. Okay, a lot deeper maybe, but we usually have a rule, ein hamikra yosi midei pshuto, right? Usually there's a rule that a pasuk has to be understood lefi pshuto, the way the words mean. It might not be the only meaning of the pasuk, but it's part of the meaning of the pasuk. It's included, typically. And the Minchas Chinuch asks this. He asks this on the Chinuch, that what happened to the simple pshat of don't put a stumbling block in? Why isn't that mentioned even as one of the possibilities? So the truth is, one second, the shalah says that ikar hapasuk hu ledin hapashit shayotze mitevosav, the pashat halacha that emerges from the words of the pasuk. V'hashar him drashos. So the Shalah says this. That is the Ikar Pshat. But the Rishonim we see don't mention it. So I saw two possibilities for why maybe here in Echanami we're going to say that obviously that isn't the Pashup Shat. That isn't the way the what we think the Pashup Shat is. Don't put a rock. Don't put a piece of wood in front of a blind person and they should trip on it. Is really not what the pasuk means. One thing is I saw in the name of a sefer. In the Karban Aron, that I saw this brought down in the sefer called Nachlas Tzvi. The Karban Aron says because the words of the pasuk is lefnei iver lo sitein. Sitein. What does sitein mean? Don't give, right? Matana, right? To give something. If it meant don't place, it said lo sasim. Lefnei iver lo sasim michshol. So the pasuk, no, it's not saying. It's a lo sitein. If I give a person bad advice, that's like a nesina. Or if I give a person to do an aver, if I give a kos yayin to an azir, so that's sitein. So he says, other rabbis, the Rishonim understood that that's not the pasuk pshat. The pasuk pshat is not don't put a stumbling block in front of a iver. That's not the pasuk pshat. The pasuk pshat is more like we're saying, like these lo sitein. Oh, the other pshat I saw brought down from the Kli Yakar, and this is a Chachamim, that the fact that the pasuk continues and says v'yoreisa me'elokecha, and the Hashem, where does the Torah say v'yoreisa me'elokecha? The Torah doesn't say normally by something that's done out in the open or that anybody could see. Yoreisa me'elokecha is usually things which are cunning and sneaky, where you do something where nobody can really tell that you're doing something wrong. You can make it look like you're doing the right thing, and this or like the Gemara says by you should stand up, right? In this week's parashos, right? They say we're talking about that, and they zaken v'yoreisa me'elokecha, meaning don't look aside when a person, an elder person, is walking by, or a talmid chacham is walking by, so you can make it look like you didn't notice. You know, if a person doesn't notice, he's pater, right? He's pater from standing up. You're not over anything. We had once heard a shiur from there was a very chashuv yid, Rosh Hashiva, Rav Shach Nizon. I think he had learned by the Chafetz Chaim, and he was a Talmud Chacham. I think he was a Rebbe, I think, in Tar V'Das. He has a grandson in town, if there's Rebbe Zon is his grandson. Anyway, so he once said a shiur in the Kol in Chicago when he was there, and he said that he learned in the Mir Yeshiva, in Mir, in Poland, and they were constantly, or frequently, through the Beis Medrash, there were Zakenim, elderly people, we walk into the Beis Medrash, and nobody stood up. Everybody just, we had their heads in the ground, nobody stood up for them. And so he wanted, he had certain mahalach, he wanted to say a chiddush in Hilchas Kima to explain it. But I remember the Rishkol, there was like a saying, the Pashup Shad is because the people, like he said himself, like everybody had their head in the Gemara. That's the answer. They had their head in the Gemara. They didn't see. They didn't notice. They weren't, you know, it's not like you read the Siddurus that we have ADD or whatever, we have trouble keeping focused on what we're learning, and we're learning with our eyes, Meshoyte Pechalha. They learned intently. They learned with focus, so they didn't notice. Okay. Anyway. So, but let's say you do notice. You do know the prayer's coming. So, but instead you don't want to stand up. You don't want to stand up. So instead you put your head down and you don't notice. But you're asim elokecha. Kadosh Baruch Hu knows. So if you're asim elokecha, usually goes on things where it's a Kadosh Baruch Hu has to. He's the decider. He's the judge, and you can make it look different. But so that's what it's saying. So here, if it meant don't put a stumbling block down in front of a blind person, that doesn't take a v'reisim elokecha. That's a pretty obvious apparent what you did. Here, bad eitzah, you could say, no, I meant for the guy's best. I really thought it would be a great idea for him to sell the field. It happens to be once he sold it, then somebody told me, you know, it might be a good idea for you to buy it. whatever it is, you can make it look, or the shidduch, you can make it look like that you're really out to the person's good when you're really not. You're not interested in his benefit altogether. So that's why the Rishonim knew that those are the types of things we're talking about here. Those types of things, rather than something which is so blatant, like putting down a stumbling block in front of a neighbor. Al Kopanim, this is klar in Shas, right? That if you machshel a person in an Isser, you're over the Isser of Lifnei Yivel Osite Michshel. The famous case, I mentioned it before, briefly, quickly, is no saying kos yayin lenazir, right? So nazir, he's mekabel naziris, he's not allowed to drink wine, and he asks you, are you initiated? You pass him a cup of wine to drink, you offer him a cup of wine, and he drinks a cup of wine, you're over lifnei yivel osite michshel. You were goring him to be chote, you encouraged him, or you facilitated it, you assisted him in being chote. So you're over the iser of lifnei yivel osite michshel, or any other cases where you help along a person. The Mishnah says in Maseches Bava Metzia, at the end of the fifth parak, that a malva and a love who do a deal with ribbis, if a person, one yid, lends another yid money beribbis, he charges him interest. So they're both over lifnei yiver, because it's an iser on both of them, right? One is not allowed to lend money beribbis, and one is not allowed to borrow money beribbis. So the one who's lending the money beribbis is being machshel the borrower, that he's over an iser of borrowing beribbis, and then Bailey, the lender is over, amongst other things, amongst other isurim, he's over lifnei yiver, and the lender, and the borrower, who is facilitating the fact that the lender is lending him the money, is also over lifnei. Besides being over the issur of borrowing beribbis, he's also over lifnei iver. And I come back to that later to see another important point that comes out there. So these are some examples. Now, another famous example in the Gemara is the Gemara in Shacharach. Well, I'll give you two of them, which are both bring out the same point. One is that you're not allowed to sell ornaments to a non-Jew, which he wants to use to decorate the avodah zarah. He wants to buy these jewels and use them to decorate, to adorn an avodah zarah. So you're not allowed to sell to a guy is mitzuv in avodah zarah. Right? One of the zayimis is beni noach is avodah zarah. And another one, the Gemara says, there's a machlokis about the iser of gid hanoshe. Gid hanoshe, that you're not allowed to eat the sciatic nerve of an animal. There's a machlokis whether that applies to goyim or not. It's a machlokis in the Gemara, whether ben Noach is mitzuva on gid hanoshe or not. And the Gemara says, according to the Mando Amar, that it's usur, so you're not allowed to sell to a goy the thigh of the animal with the Gedanasha, because you're facilitating him to eat Gedanasha. Or for that matter, Eivir Min HaChai. Eivir Min HaChai is for sure usur for a guy, so you're not allowed to sell him. Eivir Min HaChai, a limb that was removed from an animal was still living. So it's clear from all these cases that the Israel of Ne'iver applies even between a Jew and a guy. Meaning a Yid is not allowed to be machshel, just like he'd be machshel another Yid in an Avera, he's not allowed to be machshel a guy either. Not allowed to cause a guy to do an Avera, meaning that which is an Avera for a guy, right? You're allowed to give a guy tray for meat, nevela. In fact, there's a pasuk that says you can do that. You're allowed to give a guy a beged of shatness, if you know, which is clearly shatness, but there's no question, no concern that he's going to sell it to another a Jew who's not going to realize the shatness. You're allowed to sell him a beged of shatness because he's allowed to wear shatness. And you're allowed to do, you know, most of the things which are us for us are mutter for Ben Noach, and therefore you're allowed to sell him a razor. If you say, you know, a razor is going to shave his payas, that's fine. He's allowed to shave his payas. But things that are usher for the guy, you're not allowed to help him do. You're not allowed to sell him something that he's going to use for Avodah Zarah. Or you're not allowed to, let's say to build him a base tifla, or to rent him a makam that he's going to use as a base tifla. That could be, we'll see again soon some conditions, but that easily could be an issur of, that could be an issur of lifnei iver l'usita in michshol. And but so the point I'm saying is even though the one who you be machshel is a guy, it's still the issur lifnei iver l'usita in michshol. That's before Shin Gemara. Yet if you notice the lashon, when I read the Rambam before, when the Rambam was talking about the first type of what he calls the first type, the main type of lifnei iver, which is not to give a person a bad eitzah, the lashon of the Rambam is shizhiranu me hachshel tzaseinu es tzaseinu be'eitzah. Some of us, meaning yidden, shouldn't be mislead, give a bad eitzah to other yidden. Tzaseinu es tzaseinu sounds like only to another Jew, and the Sefer Chinuch also that way, that when you're to give an eitzah, the eitzah is only to another Jew. That's where the over the iser of lifnei iver. So the question is, like, why is that, or where does that come from? If it's mefurish in shas that even to be machshel b'avera, even a nachri, it's mefurish. Mefurish, but I told you the cases I gave you mefurish that to be machshel a nachri is an iser lifnei iver. Iser the raisa lifnei iver. So, but yet when it comes to giving a bad eitzah, the lashon, the Rambam, I think the Chinuch seems to be that the iser is only a yid. Not that there's a chas v'shalom a mitzvah to do otherwise, or you know, certainly there are many good reasons why a person should be nisr in this, even if the one is asking is a nachri. But the technical iser of ne'ivra doesn't seem to apply if the one who you're counseling or giving the eitzah to is a nachri.
Gnevis
Das
does not apply like that.
Well, that's not
the truth. There's not a distinction between Gnevis Das.
Right, now Gnevis Das actually does apply, but it's not necessarily Gnevis Das. If you give a person a bad eitzah, let's say attack has nothing to do with you. You have no benefit, but you give a bad advice for whatever reason, that you're not over Gnevis Das. Gnevis Das is when you mislead a person in a way that you're to get something from him. Right. Yeah, so that could apply to a guy, but not with Ne'iver, right? Not with Ne'iver when you just, you know, he wants to know whether he should sell his car or not.
And if I'm telling him yes because I want to buy, or because...
No, that might be different.
That would then...
Maybe.
Then
okay, maybe things that come into the realm of Gnevis Das, but I'm talking about where it's not. Not sure like Gnevis Das. Just Eitzera. Right? Lahasi Eitzera.
That also doesn't necessarily apply to Yid. If I gave bad advice, but I didn't think it was bad advice, I didn't intend to give bad advice.
No, but let's say you did, or you didn't. Like I said before, you didn't bother to think about it. You just, you know, yes, you don't want to be bothered, so you just say, yeah, I think it's a good idea. You didn't even bother to think about it. You just say, yeah, sure. Someone's offering $5,000. Yeah, sure. You didn't even, you know, check out, ask him anything about the others, and that. You just say, yeah, take it. You never know. It's good to have some more cash in your pocket. You just want to get the guy off your back, so you just you couldn't be bothered to spend time on it, and so you just told him whatever popped into your head. That would be lifnei iver, even if I don't know his car, I don't need a car, I'm not interested in it.
I'm having trouble understanding the limits. How do you distinguish between what happens that and what happens with any business deal when they're handling over the price and convincing somebody how great the product is?
Well, I'm not sure what you mean exactly. I mean, when you let's start with saying, if you're convincing a person to have greater practice, you definitely have to be honest there, and you can't be dishonest about the quality of the merchandise that you're selling. When you're handling a price, you want a certain price, you're not necessarily telling the guy, oh, I think it's a great idea for you to buy this for $1,000. I'm just telling you, I don't want to sell it for that. I would like $1,000 for this item. It might not be worth, you know, assuming it's within the laws of Onas Mammon, assuming it's not violating, right? Or it's something where you're allowed to charge, or a piece of property where Onas Mammon doesn't apply.
These cars last forever. It's worth spending under $7,000 because they last. Everybody knows they last forever. But everybody says their product lasts forever.
So that's a different topic. You can't say that. You can't say something which is not true, which is blatantly a blatant lie or misleading to get a person to convince a person to anybody to buy something or sell something. But that's different than handling a price. Meaning, like I said, and this brings out another point. Like maybe that's what you meant, but I'll use the thing. Could I just check me with the time? I realize I shut my
46.
Okay. There's the mice that they'd say. I don't know for sure it's true, but the idea is definitely true, and it's very likely the best. They say they say it happened at the Brisker Rub, where somebody came over to a Mosa, a Mosa came over to the Brisker Rub, and they asked him, "We're looking, we need a person to run our Mosa, whatever. We're an important position. Thank you. Important position that we need to fill. Do you think we're considering offering or considering approaching Plony? Does the Rav feel that Plony would be a good candidate for this job, and would beneficial for our Mosa?" And the Rav says, "Absolutely, he's a very responsible person. He's very qualified. Yerei Shemayim, absolutely, he would be great for you." So I say, "Oh, very good." So then they go and they offer the job. They speak to Plony. He says, "Maybe we can interest you in this position. I'll get back to you." And Plony comes back later and says, "Later, you know, he decided against it, whatever." And in the conversation, he says, "I discussed it with the Brisker Rav, and he didn't advise me to take this position." And they said, "Well, Brisker Rav, we asked the Brisker Rav, he said it's a great idea." So they went back to the Rav and said, "My high." He says, "What's the question? You asked me, is it good for your institution? Would he be a good person for you?" I said, "Absolutely, he'd be great. If you get him to take this position, that'd be great. You'll be doing very well." When he asked me, should he take the job? I'm not going to tell him, "Yeah, because it's good for you, he should take the job." I happen to think that he could do better. I think he's qualified for a higher position or whatever the details were. So he asked me, I'm not going to give him the advice to take the position because it's good for you. When you asked me, should you offer it to him? Yes, you should offer it to him. When he asked me, should he accept it? I told him, personally, I don't think he should accept it. I think he should. You know. So that's the idea here. You know. So when I'm trying to get someone to pay me a certain amount for my product, I'm not necessarily saying, I'm not telling him, "Yeah, this is great." I mean, I have to be careful not to say that. This is my price. I'm not really interested in selling it for much less than $1,000. Now, you might think it's not worth it for you. Okay, I can't try to convince you, it's good. If I know it's not, if I really don't think it is, I mean, if I really think it is or believe it isn't, you know, if I'm get past my negius and maybe and it could still do fine. But if I think it isn't, I can't try to convince you it is. I could tell you, but this is what I'm charging. If you don't want it, then it's not a deal. Okay. Anyway, so getting back to just to offer one possibility which I saw, they bring from the Panovich Rav, so I wanted to say that again, the question is why by Averis it's even a Nachri, right? You can't even match a Nachri. And by Eitzarah, it seems to be only another Yid. So they say from the part of Pitcherov that they're two different things. That the idea of not giving an Eitzarah, that comes from this Pasuk, if they even lo sitim mishal, it comes from this Pasuk, the Torah's Mechadish. And not giving Eitzarah. That comes from this Pasuk of Lefnei Yivel lo sitim mishal. And it's only talking between a yid and a yid. Referring to a yid. My she'en kain, in the idea of not being machshel a person, is the pshat is that when I'm mitzvah in a mitzvah, so part of my tzivu is that I shouldn't violate it, and I should do my best to see that others don't violate it. Meaning it's within my chiv of the mitzvah to at least not to facilitate, if possible to stop, but at least not to facilitate anybody else from violating the mitzvah. So Mimela, if a guy is mitzvah in this mitzvah, so then the guy too. If he, it's because the Abishah doesn't want this to happen. He doesn't want Abraham Chai people to eat Abraham Chai, not Jews, not goyim. He doesn't want Avodah Zarah to be deemed, you know, to be served, not by a Jew, not by a guy. So Mimela, it's part of my mitzvah of avoiding Avodah Zarah is seeing to it to the best of my ability that someone else is not over it either. Anyone else who's mitzvah in it. So Mimela. It does. It's lav davka yid mashenki and lifnei iver of eitza. That's a like a new din, new separate, called xeris akasa, whatever, or mitzvah in the Torah, and that's only between a yid and a yid. Now I don't fully understand it because I don't think I didn't see it inside. I mean, I saw some. I don't think he's saying the Pana Rishon is not saying that. I don't think he's saying that they don't come. They don't both come from this pasuk. I mean, the Rishon must say they do, right? Both ideas come from this pasuk. So I'm probably missing something exactly. In what he's saying, but there is this idea that I think others say as well, that it's part of my mitzvah. Part of my mitzvah is to see to it that this mitzvah is observed as widely as possible. Okay, now I just want to clarify one or two important points. And one is the following: the Gemara says that if you give a kos nazir to a yayin, you're over lifnei iver. But the Gemara says clearly that it's only when it's betray ivri dinara. What does betray ivri dinara mean? Two sides of the river, meaning to say the wine is on the other side of the river and the Nazir can't get it without me. And he asked me, I'm over there, and says, oh, I see you're about to get on the ferry. Do me a favor, bring the bottle of wine. I'd like some wine. Okay, you know, it's just an example. But a case where he can't get it without me. So he can't get it without me, so I bring it to him. That's the Issa D'Oraisa of Ne'ivah L'Sid Mishra. But if the wine is, and the Nazir says, Nivah, can you please pass the wine? And he's a Nazir. If I don't pass the wine, he could easily get up and get it, or he could ask someone else to pass it. It's very easy to get the wine. There's no problem getting the wine. I'm sitting here, says, do me a favor, please pass the wine. Like you're at a table, yes, could pass the salt, pass the soda, pass the challah, you know. So yes, pass the wine. So that's not lifnei iver l'sid tehi mechusha, because it's something that he didn't need me to do it. It's only when I'm the facilitator, that I'm the necessary facilitator, or if I encourage him, if he wasn't interested in doing an aver and I talk him into it, I convince a person to do an aver. Of course, that's lifnei iver. But if I didn't convince him to do it, he wanted to do it on his own, and he doesn't need me to do it. He asked me to help, but that's not lifnei iver l'sid tehi mechusha. Now, there's a Tosis, famous Tosis in the Rush at the beginning of Masechus Shabbos, says that there is, though, an Issa D'Rabbanan, even in that case, even where the person can get it without you, there's an Issa D'Rabbanan called Misayeya Yidei Ovri Avera. I'm helping a person do an Avera, and they learn it out from the fact that, how do we know that's, I mean, or Chazal asked it because I have a mitzvah Tochacha. I'm really supposed to be Mochiach a person. If a person wants to do an Avera, I'm supposed to, a guy says, can you pass the wine? I'm supposed to say, wine? Aren't you a Nazir? What are you? Or however, you know, I'm supposed to say in a way that he might listen to me and that I don't embarrass him. But I'm supposed to try to be mochiach him and convince him not to do it, right? And rather than pass it. So if I pass it to him, even though he didn't need me to pass, he would have gotten it anyway. But that's the opposite of what I'm supposed to do. So that's Asur Midrabbanan, I'll call Masayeya Deyavir Avera. That Isur Masayeya, first of all, doesn't apply when it's a guy, meaning if it's a guy who's a nachri who wants to do an aveira and he can do it without me, but I help him, you're not over anything, and that's why I said before I was being a little bit ambiguous. The case of the church, it says if you're renting a property to a church. Now I'm not speaking the lachla ma'aseh. Anyone, if anybody here is in real estate and has a piece of property like this, you could ask Kashal at the time. But if a guy wants to purchase or rent a church property for a church, and you even if you don't rent your property, it's very possible that there are other, you know, there might be other locations or other buildings, etc. If there are, and he just, you know, he's interested in this location, and well, maybe he's looking into two or three locations, and I end up renting to him or selling to him, I won't be over lifnei iver if he could have done it anyway. He could have. There's a place three blocks away which he could have rented or bought. And so if he happened to buy my place, I'm not over lifnei iver. And as I said, by you guys, it's not even Siddur Rabbanan. We had this when I was in Chicago, the shul that I was involved with. We purchased, or at least the community purchased, and then we purchased from the community a building from a church. There was a church, mamish, in the neighborhood, right smack in the front neighborhood of West Rogers Park, and they're moving. They were Bell's Hill for sale. So a number of people in the neighborhood swooped right in and bought it for them because they wanted to make sure that it wasn't bought by, you know, other groups. They wanted it to become part of the Jewish community. It's mamish right in the heart of the Jewish community. They wanted it to be a Jewish moshav. So the community bought it and then said, okay, they bought it. Now we'll find who needs it. And so they offered it to our shul and we ended up buying it. At that time, though, when we bought it, they wanted to rent it for a couple of months before they were moving out into the suburbs. This particular church was moving out of the city into the suburbs, but they wanted a couple of months, you know, to rent it till their place was ready, whatever. So at the time, we asked the Shalem, we were told that we could do it because it wasn't going to make or break. Otherwise, they'll figure something else out. They had other places they could have rented another place for, you know, they're not going to close the doors or not going to, you know, otherwise. But as I said, if anyone is a shayla chalamaisa, they'll inquire and you know, based on the details of their shayla. But so for non-Jew that doesn't apply. But there's even a bigger chiddush. The Shach says in Yerodea that even if the person's even by a yid, but if he's not a frum yid, it doesn't apply. Meaning, where is the nisid rabban of a misayeya when the person could do it without me, but I help him? Where's that usher? If he's a frum Jew who wants to do this particular area, he's failing this nisayeya. He wants to do this avera. Maybe he doesn't think it's an avera. Whatever. He's a frum Jew. He keeps Torah mitzvahs, and now he's asking me to help him pass that thing, which I know is not kosher. That you can't say, ah, come on, don't be such a frumak. It's okay. Yeah, it's okay. It used to have a hechsher. It's politics, you know, whatever. You know. So he's rationalizing to do this avera, so there's an iser to help him. But if he's b'chal not frum, doesn't keep the Torah. So then the Shach says it doesn't apply. It's not usher. It's not as long as if it's lifting iver, he can't do it without you. Then it's usher. It's usher b'dres. But if it's not lifting iver, he could do it without you. He's just asking you to help. He's just misayeya. It doesn't apply to a non frum person. And maybe the pshat. I'm just thinking that maybe the pshat is because he's most likely to get it done anyway. If he's a firm person who's just not only been a sayin, maybe if you don't help him, maybe he'll change his mind already and he won't do it. But a non-firm person, you know, if you don't help him, so he'll get it done anyway. So that's what the Shach says. And based on the Shach and the Dagam Bava and the Chuvas and Reb Moshe, that even if he's not from, meaning because he wasn't what we call a Tinuk Shinishpa, he doesn't know anything about it. He wasn't brought up from it, he doesn't know anything about from Kite or whatever. Even there, it's not. Reb Moshe Paskins that way in some Chuvas. I think there's one famous Chuva about renting a catering hall for a wedding. This is going many, many years ago. They were going to have mixed dancing. And the Shalom person asked, from birth, can I rent my hall to them? They're going to have the wedding with mixed dancing. Am I allowed to rent a hall for such a wedding? So I believe the Rosh says in the Tshuva that if you can find another place, you won't rent it, then they're not going to call off the wedding, or they're not going to say, okay, we won't have mixed dancing. they'll just rent the hall, you know, two blocks down. So it's not us to do that. This comes up a lot in business by lawyers, that someone comes to a lawyer and wants to do certain things, which is not mutar al pi halacha, types of maybe wills or organ donations or things which are not, you know, things which are not mutar al pi halacha. But if they don't, if this lawyer doesn't help, another lawyer can help him. So according to the Shach and the Moshe Chuvas, it would not be usher to help. There might be issues of chil Hashem, certain, you know, certain cases you have to, again, you have to know. But be yisod hadavar, that's what the Mishnah Berurah seems to say, not like this. The Mishnah Berurah says, even sees the Pascha, even by a non from Jew, it is usher. Only by a goy there's no usher. But by a non from Jew, it is usher. It seems I'll be the Mishnah Berurah. But the Mishnah seems to go with the Shach that there's only usher by from Jew. Okay, I'll hold it here. Thank you very much.